Happy Monday morning. Here we go. Hey, I got two quick announcements. First one is about a mandatory informational meeting for those who are interested in being part of the worship team. It's going to be tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, basement at Dimnit. If you have questions, call Alex Mao or email Alex Mao. That's the first one. Second one, May. If you got nothing to do in May, how about Costa Rica? Huh? Yeah. Go to Costa Rica on a May immersion experience. Interested in that? This Wednesday, 5 o'clock at the Keppel House. If you got questions, call Nancy Smith. Okay, it's about a month ago that I talked about mug boots, okay? I said it was going to be a trendsetter, Mr. Hipster. Yep. Look at Matt Mulder. He's a young cat. He's got mug boots. It's spreading across the land right now.
Paul Borsma is an influential guy, right?
I am. Thank you.
We all know that.
Yes.
There's something else spreading across the land, though, and that's Calvin College graduates wearing Hope College socks.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? That's what we're talking about.
Across the land.
Across the land.
Mug boots and Hope College socks in mug boots. Hey, for those of you who don't know Matt Mulder is a student at Western Seminary, also is on the staff at Pillar Church just across the street, but is interning with our office as well, too. We get the great privilege to have Matt bring the word from Romans today, and so will you welcome Matt Mulder?
Thank you. A couple of summers ago, I was sitting outside Alpen Rose Cafe down on A Street with my good friend and mentor, Ren Brookhuizen. Ren is kind of like a grandpa to me. He's a good man. He's a very wise man, and he's a gentle man. I was trying to think of somebody to compare him to help you guys out a little bit, and the first person that came to mind was Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. Some of you are smiling, that means you get it. The others of you were sleeping through your high school English classes, which is fine. My dad was my high school English teacher, so I couldn't pull that off. But anyway, it was a beautiful, warm, sunny morning. There was a cool breeze coming off of Lake Makatawa. It smelled a little bit, but it kept us from getting too warm. It kept us from getting too warm. After a long conversation with Ren, my heart was full. There was some silence. And then Ren broke the silence and said, "Hey, Matt, what do you think about that guy over there?" I looked across the street to where Ren was pointing. There was a teenager walking down the sidewalk. He was wearing black, baggy clothes. He had tattoos down his arms, big gauges in his ears, and a mohawk that stood miraculously on the top of his head. It was like a foot and a half tall. It didn't take me long to respond. I said, "Honestly, Ren, I think he looks really weird." I'll tell you how Ren responded in a little while. First, I'd like you to pull out your Bibles if you have one by you. They're in the pews. You don't have to. We'll be reading from Romans 11, 28 to 36. Romans 11, 28 to 36. Hear these words from the book that breathes life. "As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient, so that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him in order to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. If your experience with Romans has been anything like mine, it's likely there's been a time or two where you've been left wondering what Paul is talking about. Maybe you've been unsure about what he's trying to get at. This talk about election, I still don't fully understand election, okay? As Paul is working out the salvation of the Jews and the Gentiles, I follow along with some of it, but he still loses me. Even in today's passage, Paul writes, "For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all." Maybe that makes you a little uncomfortable. I know it does for me. Before we go any further this morning, I just want to name the fact that we aren't always going to know fully. We aren't always going to understand completely, and that's okay. It's okay to not know and understand sometimes. Paul himself writes, "How unsearchable are his judgments? How inscrutable are his ways? For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor?" We serve an awesome God, and we're just humans. We aren't always going to know fully. We aren't always going to understand completely, and that's okay. Now, I'm not saying just sweep under the rug everything you don't know and don't understand. That would be easy, but that wouldn't be good. But I also don't want what we don't know and don't understand to overshadow what we do know, to overshadow what God has revealed to us. This morning, I'd like to focus on two words, just two, nice and easy. The first word is imprisoned. Imprisoned. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Imprisoned. In the Greek, it sounds like this, sune kleison. Sune kleison. Literally, it means to be bound up. It means to be enclosed. Sune kleison, imprisoned. If you guys are anything like me, I think we know what it feels like to be imprisoned. I think we know what it feels like to be bound up, to be enclosed, to be imprisoned by sin. It's a Friday night, and all your friends are going out to the party. They invite you along. You know full well that if you go out to the party, you're probably going to do something you regret. But you also know that if you don't go, you're going to be home alone. You start to feel bound up. You start to feel imprisoned. Or maybe you are home alone, and you open up your computer, and after just a few clicks, you find yourself falling into the sin you promised yourself you'd never fall into again. And immediately, you feel bound up. You feel imprisoned. Or maybe you're getting ready in the morning, and you find yourself staring back at yourself in the mirror. And all of a sudden, these lies start to whirl around your head. You're not good enough. You're not thin enough. You're not beautiful. You're way too broken to be a part of God's plan. Think of the mistakes you've made. And we feel bound up. We feel imprisoned. Sune kleison. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we know what it feels like to be imprisoned by sin. Imprisoned is the first word. It's not the last word. Again, Paul writes, "For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all." Merciful. In the Greek, it sounds like this, elese. Elese, it means to care or have compassion about the person in need. It means to care deeply about the one who is imprisoned. Elese. Now, there are a lot of things that I don't know, and maybe that's because I went to Calvin College and not Hope College. Y'all are smart, man. You know a whole lot more than I do. In all seriousness, though, this is what I do know. I know that no one is too far gone for God. I know that no one is too broken, no one is too imprisoned in sin to not be a part of God's plan. God's mercy is for all. It was out of God's mercy that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to set us free from our imprisonment to sin. It was out of God's mercy that he sent his son into the midst of our sin. Jesus is with you when you're doing something you regret at the party. Jesus is with you when you're in front of the computer screen and you're falling into that sin you promised yourself you'd never fall into again. And Jesus is with you when you're staring back at yourself in the mirror and the lies are whirling around and around your head. And in the midst of that sin, out of God's mercy, Jesus says, I love you and you are mine. I love you and you are mine. I love you. It was a sunny, warm, beautiful morning. Did I mention it was summer? How good does that sound? After a long conversation with my friend and mentor, Ren Brookhuizen, my heart was full. My heart was full. Ren broke the silence and he said, hey Matt, what do you think about that guy over there? I looked. There was a teenager walking down the sidewalk. He had black, baggy clothes on, tattoos down his arms, big gauges in his ears, and a mohawk that stood miraculously on the top of his head. It was like a foot and a half tall. It didn't take me long to reply. I said, honestly, Ren, I think he looks really weird. Ren smiled back at me gently, and he said, you know, Matt, God created us all differently. And our differences are a beautiful thing. But maybe sometimes we think a little too much about the differences. Some more silence. Then he continued. That young man laughs just like you and I laugh. That young man cries just like you and I cry. And that young man wants to belong and be loved for who he is, just like you and I want to belong and be loved for who we are. That young man wants to belong and be loved for who he is, just like you and I want to belong and be loved for who we are. We want to belong, don't we? We want to be loved for who we are. Paul writes, for God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. It was out of God's mercy that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins so that we could belong and so that we could be loved for who we are. Paul concludes by writing, for from him and through him and to him are all things. That includes you. That includes me. And that includes people with really awesome mohawks too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.